Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Okay, Father, we thank you. We glorify you for your word. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you that you help us. Thank you that you are with us. Thank you that you speak to us. We ask for the anointing to teach utterance, the correct words to the human spirit that your children receive, and that there is revelation in their spirit and in their soul. We give you the glory and the honor, Lord, that we come to hear from your word. We hear your word. We have ears to listen in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, go with me to Jeremiah 6, the ancient path. Be seeing returning to the ancient path. Now notice Jeremiah 5, the last verse of it, 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Notice how the prophets and the priests did by their own way, not by God's. What's important to understand. In 16:1, continuing in the same subject. O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee from the midst of Jerusalem, blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a signal fire in Beth Hekrom. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come to her. They shall pitch their tents against her all around. Understanding that this story is about judgment. Judgment was going to come to Jerusalem. If you study the first five chapters, although judgment was going to come from God here, he wanted for there not to be judgment and he wanted to avoid this. But why were there to be judgment from God? Because there was disobedience. Well, now in the New Testament, all judgment fell on Jesus, but that doesn't mean the consequences don't come. There will be consequences to disobedience. Amen. To go to verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, cut down trees and build a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be punished. She is full of oppression in her midst. Or violence, translated from Spanish. As a fountain wells up with water, so she wells up with her wickedness. Violence and plundering are heard in her. Before me continually are grief and wounds. Now, verse 8, be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make your desolate a land not inhabited. Now notice this, the ancient path. Well, what is that ancient path? Before reading it, I'm going to tell you what it isn't, to understand what we're going to be reading. The ancient path does not mean returning to religion. Now, why am I saying this? Many years ago, when I first came here to Douglas, well, actually, before coming here, I lived in Phoenix, and I knew a pastor there near in the city of Phoenix. And he was known in what we call the tradition or the religious ideas of the church. Ideas of God has a purpose with the illness that you have. God is testing you. Things of the sort. Jesus was poor, therefore I have to be poor, etc. All of that is human tradition. So I knew him at that time. And in that time, I was about to come here to Douglas. And I gave him some of my cassettes and some cassettes from my pastor who was in heaven now. As he spoke English and Spanish, I gave him some cassettes from my mentors in the faith. But then when I came to Douglas, I lost contact with him. Back then, there was no smartphones or anything like that, no text messaging. So I lost contact for a few years. But through a family member here in the church, he told me, hey, you know what? This guy is, you know, he's preaching some weird doctrines. He's going to the other extreme. And he started preaching what I spoke against in the last subject, a false message of faith and false grace of just going through a house, I confess it, call it for you, and the car that you like, call for it, and things of the sort. That we believe in declaring the word of God and in declaring what God has called us in our spirit of things that we need. But not just be claiming nonsense. Well, instead of just preaching biblical prosperity, he went to materialism. Well, it brought him problems to him as a pastor and to his family, the pastoral family, to his children and members of the church. So this brother-in-law told me, hey, you know what? He's very wrong right now. He's not doing so good. And while I couldn't do anything, I didn't have much contact with him. But after this, this is around 2005 to 2010. From 2010 to 11, I found this pastor one time. And he wasn't pastoring anymore. They lost the building that they were at. They went to go rent in a commercial center there, and he changed the name of the church. But when I spoke with him, this is what he told me. Notice what he told me. Between some things that we spoke, one of them was this. Well, you know what, Brother Hughes? What happened is that about faith and prosperity didn't work for me. Good thing that it's worked for you, but it didn't work for me. And he told me this. I went back to the ancient path. Oh, well, where do they get this saying from? Now, where we're at here in Jeremiah 6:16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path or the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Notice how he said here, the old paths. And Jeremiah here, but in chapter 18 verse 15. This may seem a bit boring on what I'm speaking on, but it's very interesting. It says like this, because my people have forgotten me. You say amen because it's boring or because it's interesting? Oh, okay. It's because you need to, it's very important where you put that amen after. Verse 15. Because my people have forgotten me. They have burnt incense to worthless idols. And they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. Notice, to walk in pathways and not on a highway. But here when it says, they have stumbled in their ways, as in, they stopped walking in the ancient paths. So two times this expression is used in the Bible in Jeremiah. But what is this about? And this is the thing that we have to see. We have to understand what is truly for us, or even in its context. Well, turns out, I don't know if this pastor got it from there or if it's just an idea that is echoing around. But there's a very famous singer, or was very famous, I don't know, who for many years in the 80s and 90s, and after he got an album and named it Returning to the Ancient Paths. And you know it, what we call oldies songs, old hymns. Perhaps you know who I'm referring to. If not, etc. Let's continue. So he said Returning to the Ancient Paths. And he created an album with very old style songs. So many people think that Returning to the Ancient Path means going back to religion again. Go back to the old tradition. Go back that to preaching that God is testing you with evil or something like that. But it has nothing to do with it. So then what is it? Well, the context itself will tell you. Go back to Jeremiah 6. But it is good to know that the modern church should preach this more. That this is a truth, that we should preach this more of in all the body of Christ returning to the ancient path. But what is it? The question. It's a very good question.
Corrígete, Jerusalén, para que no se aparte mi alma de ti, para que no te convierta en desierto. en tierra inhabitada. Nota que aquí dice corrígete. Nota también que estaba hablando que iba a venir juicio, ¿sí? Ya ahí te va del...
Speaking here that will judgment will come to you. The Holy Spirit will help you to understand. In its the context itself will tell you what this is talking about in the ancient path.
Ahora, note. Así dijo Jehová de los ejércitos. ¿Dónde estoy?
Where am I? Verse 8. I'll read verse 8.
El 8. Corrígete Jerusalén para que no se aparte mi alma de
Jeremiah 6:8. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. So what word could we use when we say be instructed or correct yourself? What was that? Change? Okay, what was it? What's another one they use more constantly? Recapacitate? What was that? All those words are fine. There's another. Repent. Repent. Again. Now, let's go very slowly here. What does repent mean? Well, repent, repent, sinner, repent. Well, it's, if it's used like that. But the word repent merely means change your way of thinking. That's it. Change your path. We change our path when we change our way of thinking. So continuing, thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glee as a vine, the remnant of Israel, as a grape gatherer, put your hand back into the branches. Verse 9. Verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning, that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You just write it down, put it wherever you can. Now, if I want to tell you, but this is what I do. And this is not being boastful. It's just how, it's how it is. Especially in the last few six months of 2024. For some reason, I have more time and I have more time than before. In my whole year, I think I just went to preach a pair of times. I could count them on my hand. But I have so much time now. And God has put me in a privileged position to where I can choose at what times I'll work in my business and when I'll study. So I spend a lot of time praying in other tongues. Praying. I don't just pray for myself. I pray for everything that the Spirit of the Lord tells me. I pray for the church, for you. I pray for the faith partners of the ministries, pray for the governments, all the governments. I pray for many things. Do you know what happens when someone prays a lot? It truly prays, not just says that they pray or believe that they pray. You know what happens? You start hearing things from God. And one of the things that I have now, listening for a few months, is that the time is coming, and we're actually seeing it, but the times will come more, where there will be more apostasy than what you can imagine. And the Word of God, literally, the Bible, will not be important for many Christians. The Bible, as in this book. You make an effort in understanding the Bible, in reading the Bible. Well, I don't know if I should say it or not. I don't like to obligate anyone. I like to teach. But you should make an effort in reading the Bible in at least a year, certain chapters by day. Just read it. Just read it. Here we come to study it, but you read it at home. This one, why is it good? Why do I say of a Bible? Why does it sound religious for some? Because if you're honest, because I have Bibles in my iPad and many versions, but also I have some dictionaries of this size that scare the devil. Books like this big, they're jewelry to me, they're gold to me. I don't sell them for anything, for no amount of money in the world. Because many dictionaries now, Greek, Hebrew, are very diluted. One of the things that you need to understand, and let's see if you're honest. When you're reading your Bible on your iPad or your phone, there's a lot of distraction. There's a reason. Well, there's many, but here's one. For example, there are people. Well, I leave my phone over there in my office, and if I'm going to use it for something, be it a note, Mine can't even hear it. I always have it on vibrate. But if I were to bring it here and someone was going to call me, and a call comes in, why do they do it? Because the people don't know what you're doing. Because it's very probable that they can watch me, see that I'm teaching here. Someone in my family or a friend or another minister will say, well, I'm not going to call him. He's teaching. He's at church. Look. Right? So people don't know. So people just call you. For example, people call me from different time zones in different countries. So sometimes I'm not aware. But the majority of the people are. So you're reading your Bible and you're distracting yourself. But when you have one like this, a Bible like this, you won't be distracted. And you can make just reading your Bible. Do you think it's wrong to read your Bible? No, it's good. But Brother Hughes, then I fall asleep. Someone told me. Oh yeah, of course. If you don't accustom your brain to read, it's actually good to read and sometimes read out loud, because there are many people who struggle from dementia and mental illnesses because they don't read. And reading things that will bring a new wrinkle to your brain is good. The average Hispanic here, for example, here in this area between these two cities, forget about reading. If it's not a comic book that has something about sex or bad words, they're going to read it. But if it's informative, they're not. They're going to fall asleep. Because when your brain isn't used to it, it becomes bored. But it's good to read. Nothing of, well, I don't understand none of that. It doesn't matter. You just read your Bible. You'll understand something. And if the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about something, He'll speak it to you personally. Amen. Good advice, right? Something good. Invest in reading a Bible like this. Hallelujah. Then where am I? Verse what? What was that? 11. Okay. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days. And when you read verse 11, if you don't understand God and the Bible, you'll think, oh, how cruel, because he says, oh, the children here, why is God so evil? But he had no other option. The Bible tells us that the price for sin is death. And at this time, Jesus had not come yet. So judgment had to come. Notice how he said, I am full of the fury of the Lord. If you read the first five chapters of Jeremiah, the Lord is speaking, that is telling them to repent. I'm giving you an idea of what the ancient path is. So in Jeremiah 3, verse 1, God loves to this day his people, the Jewish people. But to this point, he even compared it from a wife to a husband. They say, if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again? Well, the answer would be no. Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, or have been an adulterer. Yet return to me, says the Lord. So think about this in the natural. Like this in the natural. Think a bit in the natural, not in the spiritual. A wife, for some reason, and the husband separate, and then the wife becomes another man's, or to many men. You think in the natural that the man is going to want her to return? Well, no. I know the world. You're a macho. This and then. No, I'm talking about the example here that God gives us. You know what God is telling us here? But He says, "Return to Me," says the Lord. I'm going to tell you. Here, that there is not a good version as King James, not even New International or New Living. They didn't translate it so good. The idea that this was translated was that, no, I don't want it anymore. No. King James translated it good here. He said, return to me, says the Lord. But what was going on here? The people didn't want to, but there was a reason. Because there were false prophets. And those false prophets were prophesying, and we're going to reach that point. And the priests and the pastors. Look, I once told a pastor something. I gave him some advice. Because he called me almost crying. He said, "I don't know what to do, Brother Hughes. You know me. You know me and my wife. We're faithful people, but the people have hardened their hearts listening to false teachings. They want me to talk about that debaucherous faith and liberal faith, and many of my leaders have left me. They're calling the sheep, and we're losing members because they want me to preach that liberal grace." And I said, "Look, I'm going to give you some advice. You want some good advice now that you called me?" Because he called me for that. I said, "Look, you maintain, you always honor God. Maintain yourself in the word. Teach the people. Teach them. Don't scold them. Don't bash them. Don't obligate them for anything." "No, I don't do that," he said. "We'll continue that way," I said. "Doesn't matter. And if you can't do anything else, if the money doesn't come in and you have to leave, God will take care of you and your family. God will honor you." And I shared with him how Nubia and I'm not going to say the names, but Nubia and I, we know two people who right now work for a worldwide ministry who, both Texans, graduated from Rema. You know who I'm referring to, right? And one in Texas, another in that time. Back then, they didn't know each other, but now they know each other. They work together. But back then, again, the people did not want anything with the word. And the Lord took care of them. To this day, they work for a worldwide ministry. They're directors in those Bible colleges. They travel and forget about pastoring here. Who wants to pastor? You asked them, they said, "No, forget about that. I'm better now." But one day I asked one of them, because I know both of them, and just joking, he said, "No, I served my sentence." But God took care of them. And I'm telling you, this was years ago. So I shared the same example with this brother in Christ. God always takes care of his servants, of his pastors. Because you know what? Those people are fighting against God, not against you. The work isn't yours. The work isn't mine. The work is God's. Well, the same applied to you. Regardless of what you're going through, you maintain yourself in faith, God will take care of you. Now, returning back to where we were at. What verse did I stay in? Verse 12. 6:12. "Because from the least of them, even the greatest of them, and their houses shall be turned over to others." This was talking about of Babylon, the dominion of Babylon over Jerusalem. "Everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even the priest, everyone deals falsely." Verse 13. "Everyone is given to covetousness, and from the prophet, even the priest, everyone deals falsely." Well, what is covetousness? Well, some people think that covetousness just means with the love for money. It includes in it, but it also means not just with money, but also with just people want power. Anxiety of power, saying that, "Oh, I'm in control." Now, don't lose your spot here in Jeremiah 6. Go to Colossians. Colossians. But what is the old path, Brother Hughes? Well, it's a very small study series, but you're going to like it. Colossians, what verse did I say, or what chapter? Chapter 3, verse 5. "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth." In English, in the old English, it says mortify, which is why I don't say, "Oh, I'm so mortified." Mortis of death, meaning. But your flesh do put it to death. Your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God has come upon the sons of disobedience. what it's saying here, what this verse is saying here, just here. Why was he talking this to the brothers in Christ? You have to understand, if you see the New Testament and you read the letters from Ephesians, Philippians, if you see all the letters from Paul, apart from the message that was there, there's a lot of correction. Notice, don't do this, do this, don't do this. Have you noticed? Why? Because all he was saying here is, Paul said in Corinthians, in 1, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, around in 1 Corinthians. But then, farther ahead, he called them carnal. Is that right? Well, all of this has to do with what I'm talking about. Apologies, farther back. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me, but I just love the word. I love the word. How about you? I love this book. Glory to God. I love this book. Verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? But then verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not still able, for you are still carnal. Well, I mean, in 3:16, he said that they were temples, and here in 3:1 and 2, he called them carnal. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and division among you. Are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Now farther ahead, in chapter 6, verse 17, 18, and 19. So we're going to see what that old path is. Do I tell you now or not just yet? Or do you want to see it? Reading. What do you want? How many say that I should say it now? Now how many say, oh, well, let's just see it in the Bible. Oh, it's fewer. But you see, I'm with those who say, see it in the Bible. I says, I'm the one that's preaching. We're going to do, they're going to do the minority. Okay, now. No, it's 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does, it's outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So what is it talking about? These were Christians, born again. And they were having sexual relations with the prostitutes in the temple of the pagans. And they were Christians. Which is why I said, if you read, Paul was always correcting. I'm talking about if, a condition, if a person is truly born again, received Christ, they're born again and it's done, regardless of their actions. One amen and everything is silent. You see, if you don't understand, you're going to think that the ancient path is returning to religion. I'm saying if the person was truly born again. Amen. But what happens is this soul, this mind is very perverse. This mind, oh man, it loves gossip and speaking falsely of other people, but which is why you have to put it under subjection. But when you put the word more, there will be a transformation. And you're going to leave all those things over time. What do you think? Now, let's go to Romans 12, verse 2, before continuing. Romans 12. I'll see it from here. Notice. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You see that word there, transformed? In the Greek, it's the word metamorpho. What does it sound like? Metamorphosis. It's where we obtain the word, in Spanish, in English, metamorphosis. And you know what metamorphosis means? It literally means a process in which a new being is developed. It's what metamorphosis means, from metamorpho. A process in which a new being is developed. Now, question for you. Remember that many of you asked me not to teach so quickly and not to be screaming. Preach quieter. But you know, I also want you to interact. If you're a new being in the spirit, if you've been born again, you're a new creation. Well, what is this talking about? Exactly, the very verse tells you. Verse 2? Exactly, do not be conformed. This sounds like, oh, we'll be happy with this taco of chorizo that I'm giving you. Like, you'll be happy with it, be conformed with it. Well, no, it's not what it means. Conformed means... Okay, how many of you were children? You know, normal kids, not like the traumatized ones. I was sharing with my children how, but back then, in the neighborhoods where I grew up, middle high class, where some very nice fences for some houses, and one of my neighbors from two or three blocks, you know, where my mom lives right now, you know, seeing so many roads and houses, I said, look, through here, I would go ding dong ditching. Because one is very, very long, ding-dong ditching by both sides. And then the next day, I'd do the other side. And then I'd go with a stick. Doing I'd use a stick making a whole bunch of noise as I was walking on the fence. So that's why I say normal kids, not like those traumatized kids that don't do anything. Okay, how many of you were those boring kids who were always indoors, studying and playing with Barbies? I'm looking at someone. But as I was saying, were you a kid? Did you play? Did you have a good time? So different to the kids of today, huh? Now, literally, their mind is literally absorbed on those phones. This is why parents have to be careful. Am I good? We good? We following along? Well, this, the word here. How many of you used clay or Play-Doh? It's like when you put your hand and pressed it in, and that mold was there. That's what that's like, a mold. Do not put that mold of the world mind. You don't have to be speaking F this, F that, like the world. And words like those, all you're doing is bringing more cursing to your life, to your home. Avoid all of that. Actually, especially of spending time with people like that. If they talk like that, say, stop them and say, hey, you know what? Don't bring cursing to my home. Don't speak like that here. In love, you don't have to be rude or fight with them. Even take advantage to say, hey, why you shouldn't speak like that? Amen. So many Christians give too much to the devil. Which is why we have to return to the old path. And I'm going to start touching on that. Colossians, then, where we were at. What did Paul tell the Corinthians before continuing? Why did he in one part call them carnal and then temples of the Holy Spirit? Did we read 19? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Oh, do you ignore that your body is temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you? So, brothers and sisters, if you truly believe this, why would you be saying, well, then why am I speaking all this nonsense when you're with other people? Or speaking of gossip of other people? If you truly believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you, do you not think He's listening to you? Amen. Especially things that you can't fix for other people. You see, sometimes, but back then, Pastor, this person that left the church said this and that about you. And I'd say, hey, hold on. What's so good in me knowing? Just for you to know. Well, I don't want to know. I assume if a person left is because God told them. Well, God bless them. That's it. I can't do anything. Because if a person has integrity, they'll even say a proper goodbye. Well, I'm coming back to the old path. Person with integrity and honesty. That's what it's lacking. You know what the old path is? Talking about returning to the ways of repentance. Changing our way of thinking. That's the old path. And returning to the times of when people had integrity. The people of God. Where that integrity has been lost. But neither you and I will have integrity until we change our way of thinking. Amen. I remember when I was a pastor with Pastor Nunez. When I was going to come and live here. Well, no. When I first started coming here on Sundays, I wasn't going to be able to be there anymore. And you know what I told Brother Nunez? I said, hey, you know what? Well, we're going to pray for you. And we'll say a goodbye. And my pastor, who's in heaven as well. Those are people of integrity. And you know why the Spirit of God started speaking like that to Jeremiah? Because there was no integrity with the people, but also because the priests and the prophets were faithful people, like we saw with the children of Eli. All of that has been lost. You and I can say, oh, we're very grateful. But more than words, the action will show them. Always remember this, actions speak louder than words. Although you should confess the word of God, but what I'm saying is when we just say things so loosely, oh, I'm grateful, I love this and I love that, oh, I love you very much. Really? Have you not learned when people tell you that they love you and they speak terrible things of you and say, oh, wow, you love me? What if they hated me? My God. But you know what? When you do that, You give value to your words. What words are we truly speaking? What am I confessing? What am I telling my brother or sister in Christ? You know why? I'll give you this advice because this helped me years ago. The Lord corrected me here. Never take a decision that isn't from God, and especially less when you're offended. Get it? Decisions out of being offended, you will never hear God. Even if you say, I'm hearing God, it's not God. It should be the God of this world. But it's not God. You're the Father, especially when you do things out of offense. And right now, it's very easy to get offended because, you know, someone could say something. Every single moment I'm getting into trouble with something, I'll say something referring to another instance or another example. And people out there who listen to me, they think I'm talking about them. They take it personally. And I say, why do they think that? Why do people twist things? Because they're carnal people. There's dissension. There's strife between them. Amen. Well, we saw 1 Corinthians 6:19, right? Well, Paul told the Corinthians that they're temple of the Holy Spirit. But in the same letter, he called them, a bit farther forward, he called them carnal. What was he referring to? Was it one or the other? Well, the thing is that they were both. When he said they were temple of the Holy Spirit, he was referring to their identity in the Spirit. When he called them carnals, he was referring to them, to how they acted. How is your life at home? Look. With what I'm saying, do you want me to help you? Or do you, you know, just want... No, just speak however. Or do you want to understand? For example, if in your home, it's always just screaming, yelling. Another example. Suppose that your kid threw something, he dropped it. Why do we have to say, pick that up, oh my god. Look, what a mess you have there. Why don't you say, hey son, pick that up. You see the difference? In your tone is your heart. And from there is where strife will begin. In the tone of your voice is where your heart is. Yeah, it's true. Sometimes as parents, you have to put correction. Sometimes your tone is more firm. But there's a difference between a tone of correction in the moment and a tone of correction because you're mad. Because you're already annoyed. Amen. That of speaking nonsense of one of the things that many parents do, parents, adults, speaking some issue that they had with someone or a brother in Christ or something in front of their children. You're just poisoning them spiritually. That's what the Lord was referring to here in Jeremiah, returning to the ancient path, having integrity and repentance in your way of thinking, which is why it's here. Notice how he mentions asking for the ancient paths. Now I went back to Jeremiah here. Jeremiah 6. The ancient paths. Plural. Which ancient paths? Notice how it refers to a path. What is the ancient path that we can find? The Bible. In Genesis. You want to go there? Genesis 3. 3 verse 6. Here's an example of the oldest path you can find. This is in the fall of man, and they die spiritually. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig trees together and made themselves coverings. They themselves made it. They made it. Verse 8, and they heard of the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The oldest path was when Adam had that relationship with God. He could hear from God. Well, this is where we need to return to. That relationship. That path of a relationship. That relationship of integrity. Of changing our way of thinking. Changing words that are spoken at homes, in your car. You can't control the world, brothers and sisters, the world out there. But you can control your world, your surroundings. You can change circumstances with the word of God. Stop thinking that the situation and the countries out there. Again, there's a God that will take care of you. You're in my, at yours, and my job is to pray and to believe in God. Do you think that when we're against a political person, do you think cursing them and talking about how bad a country is and how bad the economy is will help us? You know what we're doing is just cursing more. We could disagree. But you continue praying, and God will take care of you. And if that country does not change, believe me, there where there's more darkness, you will be light. You will be light. Amen. Believe me. Am I happy for the result that was here in this country? Regardless, I don't put a single ounce of faith. Now, you can see the difference between a strong and a weak leader. Very, very quickly. I mean, this person hasn't taken the position yet and things have already changed. That's very good. But my faith, God tested me in these 4 years. When I say he tested me, not with evil, but he confirmed to Nubia and I that God was our source. To this day. 6, Jeremiah 6. Did you like this? This is very good. Jeremiah 6. Verse 13 is where I left off. Everyone deals falsely. 14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. What this is saying is, with something light, they try to say, oh, there's peace. It's like saying, oh, everything's going to be all right. Live however you want, doesn't matter. Well, let's not speak of certain subjects to not offend. Well, of course, we don't want to offend people. I'm not to offend. Oh, who wants to offend? Especially people who will not want to learn now. But let's. I give a very clear example in your house. Speaking illly of someone who is not there. And if that brother or sister in Christ hurt you, why are you putting more venom into your children, poisoning them spiritually? The worst you can do. Deal with that quickly, with God and in your heart, but don't speak things in front of your children. Again. Read again. Hurt of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, but where there is no peace. 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? It responds for yourself. No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they not know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. So, during this time, there will be many Christians who will be like this, who will fall. But will fall because they sowed wrongly. But you don't fall. But make sure you don't fall. Verse 16. Thus says the Lord. Now we have to pay attention here. Thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord God your Father. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Ah, here. If you see its context, we're going to return to this right now. By saying first, repentance. Change your way of thinking. Amen. First is repentance. True repentance. Changing your way of thinking. If you change your way of thinking, you know what you'll do? You'll change your way of speaking. Your way of conducting your life. Amen. And you will produce what is known as integrity. What does integrity mean? Well, let's see these words. Honesty. 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 Well, rectitude. Being, if you know what is right, do it. Decency. Write these down because they're not going to be on the screen for you. What did I say? Tell them. Honesty. Rectitude, decency. You like this word? Loyalty. Are you loyal? Completeness, of being complete. Completeness. It's what integrity means. Or fullness. Or fullness. Fullness. Being full. Not lacking. I had the opportunity of being in front of my mentors in the faith in occasions, and some of them years have passed, and I promised them, and I gave them my word, I will always preach this message of grace, of faith. And I was with my pastor who was in heaven now. For 17 years I had a relationship with him as my pastor. As father and son spiritually, and I was with him till the day that he passed. And I honored till the day that he passed for a price. Amen. And I have one left, and I honor him. You know, that he uses Nubia shampoo. When you see him in TV, and you see his hair very nicely combed, you'll know. And we told them, while you're here, Dad, we're going to send you for free. And we honor him. And we speak highly of him always. And we sow in his ministry and in his life. Because that is saying, I am faithful. Not just saying, well, I'm thankful and that's it. That is returning to the ancient path. That is being honest. That is being thankful, truly. I'm about to wrap up. Jeremiah 8. Use your faith, change circumstances, don't let things affect you. And some of you know, for those coming from AP, God can give you grace just by your faith. God can accelerate that line from AP, from Agua Prieta to Douglas. God does things for those who use faith. God honors your faith. But stop speaking what the rest of the world is speaking. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 8, verse 8. How can you say, 8:8? How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? It's asking here, how can you say you are wise and the law of the Lord or the word of the Lord is with you? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Remember what I told you right now. This is speaking of how can we say that we have the word of God and our acts say the contrary? Amen? So our acts, our actions, you know what happens? God loves us the same, that's true. But we give place to the devil, and then what bad testimony we give to the world? Someone say amen. We're not in the time to be giving false testimony to the world. Not good. Because the first thing you do is, they speak falsely of God, not just you, of God. Hey, Father. Is it Romans 2? Don't lose your spot there in Jeremiah. Let's see, help me. Jeremiah 2. Thank you, Lord. Romans 2. Romans 2:21. This is about testimony. Didn't understand of the old ways. Oh, nice. And then the Lord said, we return to that. To the old path. Man, I would almost like to say, thus says the Lord. To all the universal church of the Lord Jesus, return to the old path, to the ancient path, to the world, to the people, to the Christians all over the world. You need to return to these things. Romans 2, verse 21. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who teach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You see? So I've said some things very quickly. Forgive me if I'm going too fast. Everything that I say, brothers and sisters, is what I've lived. Not to criticize or to judge someone in a present time. It's everything that I've seen and lived. So this goes to what I've lived for a long time. For example, you who you prophesied to a person. I'm talking about you. It's talking about how we could read it. You saying, you who teach to another, do not teach yourself. If I would have understood this, I would have told those who I knew in religion. You who you prophesy, do not prophesy to yourself. Who you say that God told you this and God told you that to another person. Why don't you hear and listen first to the Holy Spirit about your life and make corrections in your life first? It fits, doesn't it? Well, that's what I'm referring to, again. And this is not about prophets or of teachers or of other people. This is about everyone in general. If you say, oh, you call yourself a Christian, and in your work, your people speak terribly of you because of your testimony. Do you understand? That's very terrible. That's terrible. Avoid it at any cost, because then they speak of God. Notice, I'll prove it to you. Verse 22. You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Verse 23. You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? 24. For the name of the God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. There we go. You see how it says, how it doesn't say because of your name? So what's so good in telling a person, oh, walk in faith, but then they see that you aren't walking? Understand, I'm not judging anyone. All of us have a fleshly body. Issues want to come. But the attitude, what attitude do they see from you? Amen. Someone say amen. Glory to God. That's what this is referring to. Return now to Jeremiah 8. It's time that the church, I was sharing with Nubia, let's see how, I don't know how praise and worship is going to do right now, but I'm going to buy myself, hallelujah, a pulpit. An acrylic pulpit about this size. Big, beautiful. That, where you can put your Bible and other things here. I don't know how they're going to do it to move it. You're going to be able to move it. Maybe. Because I'll tell my kid sometimes, I'll tell my son, why do we want to do things like the world? Where did this about removing pulpits come from? I'm not saying that you don't move it. You see, because Thursday is going to be there. All I'm saying is, why do we have to do things like the rest of the world? Why? Why? Move it right now while you can. But once the other one is here, let's see how you do it. I'm not going to buy it for that. I'm going to buy it because I like it. It's, and something that I have is that I like to be comfortable. So who said amen?
Amen.
Thank you for that amen. One day my mom was at home, and one of my daughters said something, and my mom drinking coffee. My daughter said, my dad just likes being very comfortable. And then my mom drinking coffee took a sip and said, you know, all the time. He was a kid, because, you know, now, of course, I will have to be out there when I'm working. I'm all sweating, flies all over me, but then I like to go home, take a shower, AC at full blast. Now, sometimes, even during the winter, you know, I'll turn it up just a bit. I like to be comfortable at home. I like to be very comfortable. Now, sometimes, it can't be done. Sometimes, I've gone to preach where they don't have a lapel like this, a microphone like this, and they give me a handheld, and I don't like it, but all they have. One time a pastor said, we couldn't connect your microphone. Here's this one. I said, well, I mean, I don't want it, but that's all there is. So, you know, I have to preach with it. And I'll forget. So sometimes do my hands like this, and I almost have to put my neck forward to follow along with it. And I have one here. I'll preach with one here, and then I have one when preaching here, and then I have one when we travel. Is why the Lord takes care of me. Glory to God. I'm about to wrap up. Now, where was I? Verse 10. Therefore, I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least, even the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even the priest, everyone deals falsely. 11. For the For they healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. Saying, oh, disobey, and God will love you the same. That's not the best way. Yeah, God loves you the same way, regardless of your action. But look at the results in your life due to your disobedience. Someone say amen. That's all I'm saying. I'm not condemning you. I'm not judging you. Go to Malachi. Malachi 3. Malachi 3, yeah. Malachi 3. Verse 7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances, or from my word, or my law, and have not kept them. Now return to me, and I will return to you. Now this law also talks about tithing and offering. You want me to tell you the truth? Because you know the truth. Many Christians are lacking the financial area because they do not obey. Now in us, we do not lack because we believe. That's it. It's all about faith. Giving is about faith. You're comfortable, right? With the heater? But don't believe that APS just says, oh, well, since you're a church that preaches the word, well, don't pay us anything. Well, it all comes from there. But people, then, I haven't had the last report of our outreach as of now, but man, that YouTube, thousands of people watch us. Thousands. We're going to have an amazing outreach. And we're going to give a good testimony for 2024. And I've had pictures from faith partners where they'll show that it's one person, but it's actually three people, or two, or even four. If you multiply, I mean, it's an amazing quantity. Thousands of people. Thousands. But not out of those thousands, not everyone gives. So God will bless those who do give, so that those that many of them can continue being fed up until the word falls in them. Watch. How many countries are we reaching right now between English and Spanish? 92 countries. Yeah, glory to God. But someone pays for that website and the app that we have. Do you think they're just floating in the air free? No, they charge us to have them. The application and our website. Maintenance that has to be given. Television. Radio. No one wants to sew. We need more material. To buy more paper. And what is that called? Papers to make more study guides to send to Chihuahua. Amen. They're good projects. It's good to give. If you're fed from it, you should consider sowing. Amen. Stand on your feet, please. And continue reading with me those verses while we leave.
The old way of doing your mind. Good years coming to the nation. But what does the Lord say to do those good days? Spend and spend? No, we have to be good and minister. The Bible your laws. Will man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we been offerings? Well, of course. When was the last time we sent you? When when was the last time we sent an offering to heaven? No, we don't send it through FedEx. Oh, not give. We're not reaching those people who need to be reached. One teaching that Nuvia gave in two was in YouTube and in people. In Spanish, there's about 10 on it, and in English, about 7. It hasn't even been a week, but we steal from those people who can download our own app and use the word. But he promised to those of us who give, that he's going to multiply. So go back to the old ways. Repent and change your ways. The world and people see it as just money, but we see it as a seed investment. Lord, thank you for those who are going to give this night. Those who are going to sow, I come in agreement with them. Thank you, Lord, for their lives. Thank you for these times that we're closing the year, Thanksgiving, Christmas. We're going to finish it off in a glorious way, in every way, financially. In the name of Jesus, I speak a multiple finances. I speak the peace, the shalom. Nothing is missing and everything is complete. I speak prosperity in all areas, in your life, your family, your home. Glory to God, and I give thanks for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word says that when you pray, believe and it shall come. I give thanks that nothing is missing, that nothing is scarce. And by that way, there is nothing scarce or missing here. Thank you, Lord, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Everyone who believes in you shall not be ashamed. Thank you, Lord, because will not be ashamed. Thank you, Lord. What a tremendous testimony. Thank you. I praise you. I praise you. I speak healing over your body and your mind. Any perverse act of the devil. All tiredness. Tiredness produced by stress is lifted now, in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, who we belong to and serve. With that authority, I speak that overcomes all understanding. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give thanks. You receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.